Hello, fellow sleuths. I am Kathy.
And I'm Michael.
You are listening to A Southern Sleuth. Hey y'all, today's episode is going to be a little bit different for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to be a little bit more casual. Michael and I are still fairly new podcasters and we're trying to find our comfort zone. So we're going to try a little bit different format and we'd love some feedback on what you guys like and how we sound. And this also is different because this case has been done several times in many different ways. Anyone who knows a lot about true crime has probably delved into this case, but it's one that I am very interested in, have always found very intriguing, and so I wanted to give my own little spin on it, and Michael was interested in it also, so...
It was definitely crazy. I mean, it's unexplainable, random... and unsolved. So,
this is a story of a 31-year-old Canadian man named Blair Adams. Now, by all accounts, Blair had a pretty average life up until about 1996. Sometime in the spring of 96, his mother said he started having some drastic mood changes. And when she asked him what was going on, he was very cryptic. And all he would tell her was that he really couldn't tell her exactly what was going on, but that someone was spreading rumors about him.
Yeah, so right there. I mean, what I'm hearing is, I got some bad mess going on. Somebody's going to tell you about it, but don't believe it because I'm already kind of softening the blow by letting you know it's a rumor. Something like that.
So yeah. It may or may not be true, but he's trying to go ahead and do some damage control.
Right. No, it's true. But I don't want to say that, but you know, the whole point of...
Usually when someone does that, right, it is true.
They're covering their... They're trying to soften the blow of the truth.
But what he told his friends was something a little more serious because he told them someone was out to get him, that somebody was going to harm him.
Well, that's probably true. The other part is why is what the mother was going to hear probably, like the why. Why, you know, what led to, when this story is so bizarre that like what led to it. You know, that's probably what he was dispelling. Not so much that he was going to run. That was definitely true because he did. I think somebody was chasing him. That's what it feels like to me.
The really bizarre stuff takes place starting on July 5th of 1996. He went to the bank and removed everything from his safe deposit box. He had about $6,000 in cash. And he had some gold bars, gold coins, and a bunch of different jewelry, like platinum and...
Platinum. He had platinum on deck. See, right there, I was thinking this guy's some kind of involved with some people that probably shouldn't have been. I mean, who's having all that on them? Platinum, silver...
The gold bars was the weird thing to me. Who has gold bars? But I don't know.
Bars in and of itself maybe isn't totally strange, but when you mix it with all the other stuff, plus the currencies, didn't have other kind of currency too?
Yeah, he did. He had various currencies. I mean, from various countries.
Right.
Because he spent some time in Germany also. So I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But July 7th, he tries to cross the border into the U.S., but they stopped him. Apparently, once they discovered the cash that he had and the jewelry and the gold bars and all this stuff, and he was a single man trying to travel into the country.
I don't care what the situation is. If you've got all that stuff on you, you're going to get stopped at customs. Really, I mean, that's...
Well, they thought that it seemed suspicious too, and they wouldn't permit him in. So July 8th, he quits his job as a construction worker. And then he goes and buys a round trip ticket to Germany. But he returns the ticket in the same day. And then goes to a friend's house and asks this friend, who is a female, to drive him across the border. I guess he thought that he would have a better chance of getting across the border if someone was with him. But she refused. I don't know if she couldn't do it, wouldn't do it, didn't want to be involved in it, or what. But so July 9th, he is discovered trying to cross the border on foot. But the border agents thought that he might have been involved in a car theft that had happened earlier, because he matched the description and he had some scratches on him. But they really couldn't connect him to that, so they had to let him go, but they didn't let him in. Now, a weird little side note on this has not been confirmed, but he was seen by a friend in, or they think they saw him, in a blue car that didn't belong to him. So it has always kind of been a mystery. Did he really steal the car?
Who knows?
So that was his second attempt to enter the U.S. And he was sent away. But then he ends up getting into the U.S. I believe later on that same day, on July 9th. He had a car, a Chevette. And I believe that he drove that to the Vancouver airport. I'm not sure, though, because they've never recovered the Chevette, as far as I know. So I don't know whether he drove the Chevette there, he drove a stolen car there, he hitched a ride, how he got there, but somehow he got to the Vancouver airport. So we know that he got to the Vancouver airport, but we're not quite sure how he got there. And at the Vancouver airport, he rented a Nissan Altima, and he was able to get into the U.S. that time. Now, when he got to the U.S., he abandoned the Altima somewhere. I can't remember exactly where, but he abandoned it. He didn't turn it in. I guess maybe at the airport, because he bought a one-way ticket to Washington, D.C. And the weird thing about that is he could have bought a round-trip ticket for cheaper than he bought the one-way ticket. But for some reason, he just wanted the one-way ticket.
Maybe he wasn't planning on coming back.
Even if you weren't planning on coming back, it was cheaper to buy the round-trip.
Maybe he didn't care. It was cheaper.
Apparently not.
I mean, he was obviously going through something. I don't think he was trying to save pennies, but no. Yeah.
So he gets to Washington, D.C., and he rents a Toyota Camry, and he immediately drives to Knoxville, Tennessee. Now, I'm not sure if that's where he was trying to go exactly, but that's where he ended up. No one knew him there that we're aware of. He didn't know anyone. There's never been any mention of why he would have been in Knoxville, Tennessee. But he stopped at a gas station. And after stopping there, he tells the worker that he can't unlock his car.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy working at the gas station calls a mechanic. And this, I think there's the Interstate Repair Service is the name of the company this mechanic worked for. And he comes out and meets with Blair. And he says, well, dude, you can't get in the car with this because it's not the right key. It's a key to a Nissan, and you have a Toyota here.
Uh-oh.
So Blair is telling him, according to him, Blair's, you know, saying, this is the only key I have. And the guy's saying, no way. There's no way you drove this car here with this key. If you drove right. this car here, you have to have the key somewhere. And the mechanic said that when he said, you know, do you want to check your pockets? You want to look? That he was almost refusing to check his pockets.
Right.
Almost like he was panicked about it or something. So I really don't know.
Maybe he's worried about somebody chasing him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. I don't know. The guy said he was so in a hurry that when he called and had his car towed to a repair shop, because I guess, I don't know, you would know better than me what they were going to do. Were they going to have to rekey it or what? I don't know. So the mechanic takes Blair to this hotel nearby, and Blair jumps out of the vehicle and goes into the hotel, and the guy realizes he just jumps out and leaves his bag, and he goes in there with his bag. But see, what I'm confused about is, how did Blair even have his bag? Did he get out of the car with his bag and lock the car? Why did he have everything? I've never heard anything about stuff being found in the car. Sounded to me like everything he had with him. So did he get out of this car and lock it at a gas station with all his stuff on the outside? That seems very odd. But I really haven't heard anybody talk about that. But anyway, the mechanic says that he took his bag in there to him, and then he leaves. And the hotel worker that helped him said that he was very nervous. He's on the camera of the hotel walking back and forth like 5 different times, coming in, going out, coming in, acting really scared.
I bet he was.
And then he pays for the room but doesn't get his change. He like just walks off. He didn't even go in the room. He just leaves. It's like 7:37 and he leaves the hotel.
He's worried about something.
Right, because have you ever known anyone to go to a hotel and check in and not even go up to the room? Like, he didn't take any of his belongings to the room, which I don't think he had a whole lot of stuff.
Well, he has some precious metals.
Well, right, but I mean, I guess he wanted to keep that stuff with him, but it's just weird that he wouldn't even go up and look at the room. But I don't know. I'm not a single man, and I haven't been, you know, I don't know.
Everybody checks in the room. Nobody gets a room and doesn't check in. I mean, I've never heard of that. I've never done that. And I'm a man.
Well, that is good that you clarify that. So the next thing that we hear about Blair is them finding his body. It was about 12 hours later. He was found in a parking lot by some construction workers at a hotel about a half a mile from the hotel that he had checked into. So they find his body, and he has no pants on. His shirt is ripped open. His shoes are off. His socks are off. And he has one of his shoes under his head, almost like a pillow. They find $4,000 in cash around his body. It's from various countries, like Germany. I believe he had German money, he had U.S. money, and he had Canadian money. And they found his jewelry and gold bars. And they found the key to the rented Camry. So he had it with him the entire time.
Right.
This is very strange to me. He had several cuts and he had abrasions, and he had a wound on his forehead. His hair had been ripped from his head in several spots. And he had hair clutched in his hand, not from his own head.
So obviously he had a confrontation of some kind.
A pretty violent one, if they were ripping his hair out of his head and he had no pants on. He yeah. was killed by a blow to his stomach, which actually ruptured his stomach and caused him to have septic shock. So he probably didn't die right away. I really don't know how long that takes. And I don't know how badly he was beaten up before that. He had no drugs, no alcohol in his system. He had struggled with those things in the past, but they didn't find anything in his system. And he had recently eaten because they found lettuce, meat, and shrimp in his stomach that had ruptured. So he had
a meal.
He had had a meal. They believe he probably ate dinner.
Right.
Somewhere before all this happened. And maybe that's why he left out of the hotel. The only thing that anybody reported was a security guard at a nearby business who said he had heard a scream around 3:30 a.m., but that he thought it sounded like a woman.
Yeah. I don't know. Sounds like he's running from somebody to me. I mean,
sounds like they called him.
Yeah. I mean, was running.
Now, some people think that he was having, like, some kind of paranoid delusions, either by paranoid schizophrenia or some other kind of mental illness. But I don't know, because he was 31, and I couldn't find anything saying that he'd had any of this stuff before. And usually, I mean, I don't know, I'm not an expert, but I thought schizophrenia usually showed up in late teens, early 20s. I would think by 31 he would have shown something. And so I don't know. It's just, it's odd to me that somebody thinks that somebody's out to get them and thinks that somebody's going to kill them, and then somebody kills them.
Yeah, I'd say that's premonition. Like, or, you know, that's what happened. Yeah. And he was running from that attempt. That explains buying the ticket, returning it, making it look like he had done going somewhere he wasn't going, then the crazy crisscrossing, and, you know, the bizarre behavior. I mean, it could be some kind of psychosis induced by drugs, but you say he didn't even test positive, right?
Right. So you agree with me that it sounds like he was trying to
hide from somebody,
throw somebody off his trail, like buying a ticket to Germany.
Sure.
And then returning it, and then trying to get across the border in various different ways, and then getting a ticket to Washington, but ending up in Tennessee.
He had something that somebody wanted, and it might be, you know, they might have got it or they might not have. They probably looked for it pretty hard.
And then I wonder, you know, he booked that hotel room and he never went up to the room, and he ended up at another hotel, which I don't have any kind of proof of him ever going there, but was he going to try to get a room at that hotel? Like, maybe he thought too many people knew he was at this other hotel, so he better get another hotel.
Right.
Almost like he was just continuing on.
He had somebody on his trail, which is hard to understand.
And was that the whole thing about pretending like he didn't have the key to the car?
Probably.
Was that a way to get a ride somewhere else?
Drive somewhere else because he's worried about being
seen. Was trying to leave the car somewhere. He couldn't leave it where he was going. He had to leave it somewhere and then go somewhere else. But then he was freaked out because this mechanic knows where he's gone. I mean, it seems like a very elaborate hide your tracks kind of thing. And I know that, it seems like it's crazy, like out of a movie. But I do believe that things like that happen sometimes. And why they're in movies, because they have happened to people. Now, do I believe they're happening every day to people all over everywhere, and that every weird thing is like this? But I believe in his case, he was spending a lot of money and a lot of time and making a lot of effort trying to get away from something and trying to he was taking elaborate steps to cover his tracks.
Yeah, he was trying to get away from the Canadian mob.
I mean,
somebody that's got all that kind of medals and gold, and it, normal people don't. And then if they do, they don't carry it around and make all this bizarre crisscrossing continental jumps. And it reeks of being scared and running. Now, the question is, did they find what they were looking for?
Well, you know, they said that there was a possible sexual assault, but no DNA found. And if you go on Reddit, you know, you can find a lot of good things. I love to get on Reddit and just read. But there is a very elaborate theory on there by someone who says that they knew Blair and thinks that he may have had something, like you said, that someone wanted. And they're wondering if maybe they thought it was hidden in his anal cavity.
So he put the hair on in there?
And something was in there. And, I mean, that's what this person thinks. And that the person had searched them all over. That's why it's like you rip up in the shirt. Mm-hmm. You're taking off the shoes, the socks, the pants. You don't find what you're looking for. They went through all his stuff. They didn't rob him. None of his valuables were missing, so it obviously wasn't someone who needed money. And then it looked like he had been penetrated anally. So this person's saying, were they searching for something that was so important that they were willing to search him anally? And maybe they found it or they didn't, because once they got to that point, that's the last place to check. And maybe they just killed him.
I mean, you could speculate on 100 things. Something like, if he had dirt on somebody, and it could have been on a flash drive. I mean, again, I'm just throwing.
And that was too early for a flash drive, though.
Oh, that's right.
Didn't we talk about that in the 1996? There weren't any.
Boy,
weren't using those then.
Put a floppy in there, it's gonna be trouble.
The only thing small would have been like a. They did have some memory cards for certain things that would have been small, but I mean, it could have been. I don't know, a roll of film, could something.
Could have been like P. Diddy and get him to the Greek and put the hair on in there.
Well, I don't think somebody would chase you all across.
What if it was really good?
The countries. No, I don't think so. Some witnesses came forward and said that they saw who they believe was him and another man at a Cracker Barrel on the night of July 10th. And then some other witnesses came forward and said they believe they saw him with a man at a truck stop. But investigators say that neither of these sightings were actually Blair. I guess they've panned him out and figured out who the people were, and they say it wasn't him. Now, you can imagine this poor mechanic. You're a mechanic. You can imagine you show up, and here's this guy, and he's telling you, I drove this car here with this key, and you're saying, there is no way you drove that Camry here with that Altima key. And he's telling him, yes, I did, and I don't have another key. So you can imagine how freaked out he was. This poor guy, he gets questioned, and he gets, just DNA taken, and like his hair samples and everything. He ended up quitting his job because he said it was
traumatic.
Going on a call. I mean, you can imagine you're just doing a simple what you do every day, and then you're trying to help the person because you know that something's going on with them. I mean, you can tell that.
Yep.
And he ends up being interrogated by the police, and there's probably people out there that still think he's somewhat suspicious, but as far as I know, he's been completely cooperative.
Oh,
and his hair did not match the hair found in Blair's hand, and it hasn't matched anyone.
Wonder if they were able to get any kind of, they probably didn't have much testing then.
Well, they still have it, and I guess it's just they haven't got a hit on it. I don't know how often they have to put it through, because I think the way it works is you have to put it through so often to see if it's matching something in another crime.
Right.
It doesn't just come up and say, hey, we've got a match on something that happened. I think you have to
keep running.
You have to run it ever so often, and then if something new's come up, it'll match up. But you know, one of the, there's a couple of investigators that have been working the case. One of them thinks that the blow to his stomach was from a kick. He was kicked violently in the stomach, either meant to kill him or accidentally killed him. And then the other investigator thinks it was from the bumper of a car, like he was intentionally hit. And
I mean, he could have been hit in the first thing just to get him down, and then they started searching. But obviously, they weren't looking for wealth or money or you had the whole.
And all these things are just theories, because really, there's no proof of what happened at all, except that they say there's no way he did it to himself. It's just wouldn't have happened. But there's been, you know, theories that maybe he was involved with a prostitute and was in a car, got, you know, pushed out of a car and then hit with a car. But I wonder about all his stuff being strewn all around.
Unless that was somebody looking for something.
That's what it seems more like to me.
If it was any crackhead or random robbery, I promise you they would have taken, even if they didn't recognize the money, they would have known it was money. And they dang sure would recognize the gold and the platinum, you know, silver bars. I mean, this guy's rolling around like a exchange, you know. I mean,
he just had some strange that, I mean, he had gone to Germany not too long before the year before this happened, like just a few months before this happened. He had been in Germany working for his stepdad's company, and he said that he didn't get along with his coworkers there. He even had told some of his friends that he was afraid of some of those coworkers coming to Canada to do something to him. So I'm wondering if that's the people he was talking about that were out to get him.
Gangsters.
But, you know, what had he done? What did he see? Now, he did have a girlfriend over there, and I think she was like, you know, 17 or 18 years old, and he was 31, and maybe somebody didn't like that. But, I mean, to follow somebody into two different countries, I just don't know. I mean, it has to be something pretty serious, I would think.
Yeah, he might have got worked up into a state of psychosis about what he was doing, and just his mind just might have fried.
And he just ended up being a random victim. That is probably the most prevalent theory.
But
that
why didn't somebody take a little bit of that money and that silver? You know, people want platinum. The poor people want to come up.
Maybe they were just scared to take it. Maybe they kill him. No, I mean, like, his death maybe was some accident or something, and then they just ran off and didn't take anything. But I just don't know, because the being anally penetrated kind of, you know, unless he was involved in some kind of sex act, that part doesn't follow into just a random
said he might have
mugging.
Been with a guy or something.
Well, his mother came out later, years later, not at the time that this happened, and said he had been in a homosexual relationship previously, but then started back dating women.
See, that could explain the anal altogether.
Right. I don't know if she was just embarrassed to say that. I mean, maybe it was some, you know, something within, you know, she didn't want to talk about that because of her personal beliefs, but I don't know. That's the only reason, because she said that, and then she said that she thought that he was coming. She said that he came to the United States to attend the Olympic Games that were being held that year in Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. Although it was over a week before the games were to start. And why she wouldn't have said that to begin with, I don't know. So I'm really not thinking that, because it looks like he would have told somebody else if he was going to the Olympics.
She's lucky she didn't end up down there with Richard Jewell. I mean, Eric Rudolph.
Oh, yeah, that's the same year. That's the same year as
It was
bombing.
It was Richard Jewell.
It was Richard Jewell was a security guard who found.
He did it, man.
He did not do it. I'm kidding, Richard. That poor guy.
I'm kidding, man.
He has suffered a lot. I know. Poor guy.
That is, can you imagine being accused of the Olympic bombing falsely? I mean, that.
When you're trying to help and you're doing your job.
I hope he got paid.
I don't know. I know he suffered greatly, but anyway.
I hope he got paid.
Back to Blair here.
We'll start a page for him to get paid. Blair.
Blair is, I really don't know. It is one of the weirdest, because it's like if you figure out what you think, you figure out one part, then you're like, well, what about this? And what about that?
Uh-huh.
And I know when I'm talking about, it's almost like a movie when I'm saying maybe he had something somebody wanted and they're searching him. Because I just can't imagine why your pants would be off and be inside out and your shoes and your socks. Because, okay, I haven't been a prostitute. But say that you are having a sexual encounter with somebody in a car or wherever. Are you going to take your socks off? I mean, I see a man has to take his shoes off if he wants to take his pants off, but is he going to take his socks off? I mean, because you're not particularly worried about impressing this person.
I thought you said his shoes and socks were on.
No, they were off. His shoes, he had nothing on but a shirt which had been ripped open. One of his shoes was under his head like
That's
a pillow,
right.
But his socks were off and they were inside out like someone else had taken them off. You know, usually, like, when you take your socks off, sometimes they're inside out, but they're bunched up where you bunch them down and pull them off. And then your pants, you don't usually pull them inside out. The only reason that mine ever come off inside out is if I have on, like, tight pants and when you're pulling them off. But he probably didn't have on tight pants. I mean, I don't remember anybody saying he was the type to run around wearing leggings or anything. So if he just had on regular guy's pants, usually you would just pull them off. They wouldn't be completely inside out. And the investigator said his pants were off in a manner that appeared to have not been removed by himself.
Right. Man, who knows? This is a one for the books, for
right,
sure.
Right, because I'm just very confused as to what he could have had that could have caused somebody to chase him all across the countries
could have had his
that they did.
He could have had a lover's key to his house. Maybe they just had a quarrel.
Somebody chased him.
I mean, a lover can make you mad.
But, I mean, would a lover chase you all over the United States?
One might chase me. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just... And it had to be somebody with some money. Because they had to be able to chase him, for one thing, and
right.
figure out where
Probably
he was at.
Had to eat.
Because...
Gas.
You know, it was a little bit harder then to find people because that was pre 9/11. So things weren't documented. And it was pre where everybody had the internet, and you know, so they would have if it was somebody who tracked him, they had to have some powerful connections or some way to figure out where he was going.
Right.
So. I don't know, but if anyone out there has any kind of information about this, you can call the Knox County Cold Case Unit at 865-215-2243. And I'd be glad to hear from anyone on what their theories are on Blair. And I'm going to link the Reddit pages. I'm going to link the Reddit threads on the website and some pictures and some other things. And I really would love to hear what other people think about this. Please visit us on our website at asouthernsleuthpodcast.com. And you can join us on our Facebook page. And we really appreciate you guys listening to us. Thank you so much. A Southern Sleuth is a production of Cream Dream Studios. All episodes written and researched by me. All music written and performed by Michael.
That's me.